Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Seat, so glad that you're here. Have a seat and welcome to the Southwest. And as we worship, just thank you for being here and making time for that. We're going to continue in our series about living in the promises of God in this new heaven and new earth today. Today, let me just ask a question. How many of you wish you had a different physical body? Amen. Some of us. How many of you have hope that when we get to heaven, you'll get a new physical body? Some of us. How disappointing is it going to be if I'm going to tell you, well, you're going to maybe get the same body, it's just going to be better? Oh, you're like, I heard chuckles, I heard oh no over here. So we're going to talk about that today and what that looks like in Scripture and glean from that. I want to tell you about a new study that's coming in the next couple of weeks, a small group. It's going to be a study in the book of Psalms, and it's going to be here, but that sounds like it's kind of boring, and it sounds like it doesn't, you know, that doesn't really energize you, but I want to read these things that are going to be happening in this study, okay? This is what it says. This study will do three things. Number one, it gives us an honest look of faith in hard times and what that looks like. It says that also we will be reminded of who we are and who God is and His plan for our life. And then third, it says we will see that we do not walk alone, how we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and how that intermingles in our life. I can't be in this study because I'm doing something else, but I promise you this one is going to be fantastic. And so Deesa and Stephen Attaway, I don't know if they're in the room or not, but they're going to be leading that study. Encourage you to look at that and sign up to be a part of that. So as we continue to worship today, what my hope for you is that you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You will know that just as that, that study is going to say that we are not alone, that right now you are not alone, that we are, that Christ is with us. No matter what's happening in the world, that He is working all those things together, that we would know who He is and that He would be revealed to us. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank You that we are here today. Lord, I'm just glad that we made it. Lord, we made it to this time of interaction, not just with each other, but our interaction with You. Lord, the worship of who You are, Lord, to us, who You are in the world around us, and who You are over all of creation. Lord, we want to give You all the glory, all the honor, and the praise today. And as we do, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. We're wanting and waiting to hear from You. Lord, I know You're here, and I know You're moving among us. Lord, I think if we're honest with ourselves as we sing this beautiful song to You with these truthful and wonderful words, Lord, that we want to be open to You, Lord, but I just know that we're not. Lord, we have a different levels of desires in our lives of how open we want to be with You, Lord, and how close we want to be with You, Lord, and yet we tend to hold things back. Lord, I want to break that in my life. Because, Lord, I confess that I hold things back. Lord, You know that I don't always give myself fully to who You want me to be. So, Lord, just use this time to help break those places in our lives where we have some stuff stuffed away in the closets. Lord, that we keep to ourselves. Church, let's just sing this chorus maybe one more time and just make it our prayer. We're confessing it. We're desiring it. We're wanting it. Maybe we're proclaiming it in our lives. Lord, that's our prayer, Lord, and I just pray that we would proclaim that in our life throughout this week and just, Lord, the hours and the days to come. And Lord, maybe we need to proclaim that. Maybe that needs to be our prayer over someone else's life. Lord, someone in our family, someone in our neighborhood, our office space, our school space. Lord, it might be someone, it might be our spouse, a child. Lord, I don't know who it is, but maybe we need to start proclaiming that. So, Lord, as Scripture says, we're proclaiming that freedom to the captives. Lord, that we would show people your love and your grace, your salvation. Lord, to free them. Lord, to free them from those things that are holding them back. Lord, let it be so in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I want to pray for your money today as we take up our offering. Not about what you're giving, but just really about what God wants to do with the money that you do give and the money that's in your pockets and how that changes the world around you. Lord God, as we give today, Lord, we have needs. We got bills that need to be paid. We have groceries that need to be bought. Lord, we have dreams and desires of what we want and need in our lives. But Lord, I pray that you would use that money, Lord, to further your kingdom. Lord, just like those, I just pray those things that we have tucked away that we're holding on to. Lord, sometimes, oftentimes, a lot of times, it's our money. Lord, and I'm not asking you to free it up so the church can look better. Father, so we can do different things with the building. Father, I'm asking for people to give to you so you can use that money through us, Father, to grow your kingdom, to Lord, to show people your love, Father, and however you see fit to do that. Let it be so in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
All right. We are going to head to children's worship. So kiddos, if you want to start walking out that door, just because there's a lot of new faces in the room. This is for kids pre-K through fifth grade, but I mean, we've got sixth and seventh graders who still come too, so that's okay. Tonight, Kids Live starts back as well, and so from 5 to 7, you can bring your kids. We feed them, they get worship time, they get another lesson. There's places for adults to be too, so that all kicks off tonight. And then, of course, youth will still be meeting as well.
Anybody ever been in a place where you just, you're so prepared for things and you have a plan and then things just don't go the way you think they're going to and you're not sure if that's the plan anymore? Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting right now. So my plan is, and I'm going to start it, I'm not sure we're going to finish it, but we're going to start it, going to talk about being physically new and this idea of a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to tell you that the QR code and the notes section is still not working. Isn't this funny how we've been functioning as a church, not this campus, but as a church, we've been functioning since 1954. That's a day or two. And suddenly, the United States government and the FCC doesn't seem to want to recognize that our telephone number belongs to a church. And so they have shut down our portion of the texting service because they don't think that we're a nonprofit religious organization. I don't know why that's happened. I don't have a clue. And so that's what we're dealing with in the texting service that we have. We can't send out text through the service because we claim to be a church and they don't think that we're a church. That's all I'm telling you. I don't understand it. We're working on it. People smarter than me and probably care more than I do are trying to figure that out. So I just want to talk to you, you'll just have to keep up on the screens a little bit today, about being physically new in this idea of the new heaven and the new earth, and I just lost it, so let me get back to it. There we go. All right. So Paul was one of these guys that he wasn't one of the original apostles, disciples that walked around with Jesus. Matter of fact, Paul was the guy that, strangely enough, when you figure out who Paul is in the grand scheme of things in Scripture, where he wrote a tremendous amount of the New Testament, the letters, had one of the greatest understandings of who Christ is and was at the time, but yet he wasn't one that walked around with them and got to experience all the miracles, as far as we know, of what Jesus was doing. And yet, Paul was the guy running around trying to kill and persecute the Christians. Until he had this great, he wasn't looking for God, he wasn't seeking God, he wasn't trying to change his life, but while he was on a road traveling, he had this great conversion experience because God decided that as passionate, this is my understanding, this is what I believe, Paul was as passionate as he was for what he was trying to do. God was like, man, I need you on my team. And so he had this great conversion experience. We call it on the road to Damascus. He was traveling to a city. Paul had this great conversion experience. Literally, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, came into his life, and all these things happened. And then Paul wanted to tell everybody, really, he goes, I really know who Jesus is. I know God. I've had this experience. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's not a false thing. I want you to know the truth. Because as he would say, now I know the truth. And so he even says before this scripture that we're about to read, he really wanted Christians, people, everybody, believers or non-believers, to understand about Christ. And he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed, we being those that follow Jesus and the teachers, about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope, right? And so he wanted to try to explain about this hope that we have. He wanted to try to explain that why we live the way we live as Christians and followers of Jesus when the rest of the world is living differently. And I think that's a great thing for us to talk about. Why are you here on Sunday morning when you could be on the golf course? Why are you here on Sunday morning when you could be at the lake? Why are you here instead of sleeping late? Let's just don't talk about Sunday morning. I hope it's more than that. Why do you live the way you live when the rest of the world does not? That's what he's trying to get across here. And he wants us to have a better understanding. And he says in Romans 6:5, he comes back to it, I'm sorry, 6:15, and he comes back to it and says, what then? No, sorry, it's supposed to be 6:5, so I'm going to take it away from that and give you mine. He says this, if we have been united with Christ in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So that's where we start this foundational understanding of what's going to happen to us when we go to heaven. What's going to happen to these bodies when the resurrection of the dead happens? What's going to happen when we go to heaven, and what's going to happen when we're in heaven and there's a new heaven and a new earth? Remember a couple of weeks ago, actually it was last week, I put the emoji up about our minds being blown. I think this is going to blow your mind. And now, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to struggle through Scripture with it. I want you to research it. I want you to look at it. Please don't just Google it. Actually, get out your Bible, look at the references, look at the Scriptures, try to understand it. It's going to take you some time. Wrestle, go look up what a Greek interlinear Bible is, and it's going to give you the English words, then it's going to give you the Greek word, and if you do it on the computer, it's going to give you a link that you can click and give you a definition, and then you can read more and more and more. I mean, this is something that you have to struggle with, and it really can't be more clear than what it says right here, okay? It says, remember, It says that if we're gonna die like Jesus died, then we're gonna be resurrected like Jesus is resurrected. Let's just start there. When Jesus was resurrected, was he some disembodied ghost? No, he had a physical body. When Jesus was resurrected, did he have the same physical characteristics that the disciples had seen before? Yes, he had a physical body. When he was resurrected and he came before the disciples, did he have the scars on his hands and his feet? And did he still have the cut in his side where they stabbed him? Yes. But was he whole and was he new? Yes. Did he have to knock on the door and wait for somebody to unlock the door before he could go in? No. How did he get in? He just appeared. How did he get in? Seemingly he walked through a wall. He was the same in this physical body, but he was different in the fact that he had this spiritual, transcendent physical body. So when we think about that and we come to this place of understanding, I think, again, I know what pop culture has taught us, what illustrators have shown us, what movies have defined for us, right? Can anybody see Demi Moore in Ghost? Oh, wait a minute. Demi Moore wasn't the one we need to be focusing on. What was that guy's name?
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. Could care less. Let's go back to Demi Moore. I mean, Patrick Swayze in Ghost is what they wanted to show you was to make a great movie, right? And it really was a pretty good movie. But that's not what we're going to be like, okay? We're not going to be this floating little ethereal, white, misty whatever. It says we're going to be like Christ as he was raised, a physical body. Now, what the Apostle Paul says, he goes, meanwhile, we groan longing to be, this is not up here, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will no longer be found naked. Hallelujah. I don't know what that means, but I'm so glad I don't have to see you naked in heaven. And you don't have to see me naked in heaven is probably more the poignant point. Is whatever that means, that we will not be naked. Now, let me just tell you, is he talking physically? I don't know. What is that going to be? I mean, are we going to get to choose our clothes when we get to heaven? Are we going to have closets? I don't know. But I just know this. How many of you want to be found naked anywhere? Nobody. Because let me tell you, I mean, just... there's a difference, I mean, just in the word, right? I mean, there's a difference between being nude, right, and being naked, right? Naked is you're just out there, amen? I mean, why do you think they call the show Naked and Afraid, right? I mean, you're just out there. Nobody wants to be found naked. Right, we want to be clothed, as he says. We want to be clothed with this glory. We want to be clothed with this heavenly dwelling. We want to be clothed with this righteousness that God has in store for us. Nakedness just means that we're abandoned. Naked means that we don't have resources. Naked means all sorts of things that we don't want to be, not because we don't want to be seen without clothes on. It's because we don't want to be seen in a form that's just not flattering. We don't want to be seen in a form that's exposing. We want to be clothed in glory in our heavenly place. He says, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life, will be new life, renewed life, a new understanding. Certainly clear that Jesus went to heaven with a mortal physical, not immortal, with an immortal but physical body. It says that he was carried up, Acts 1, 9 through 11. He was lifted up, and it says a cloud received him. Was it a physical cloud? I mean, was it a storm cloud, or was it one of those wispy clouds, or was it a God cloud? I mean, we don't know. It just says that his physical body was lifted to heaven, and at some point, he was taken to heaven. At some point, he disappeared from their physical sight. And yet, all of a sudden, now here are these guys, okay? They're standing there. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's got a physical body, but he still has these scars on his hands and his knee, on his feet and on his side. He's being physically lifted up into the to the sky, and as they're looking up, going, "Where is he? Where did he go?" And they're trying to figure it out because they want to keep their eyes on Jesus. I mean, they've lost him once. Amen. They're like, "Oh my gosh, somebody's stolen his body," or whatever. They're all trying to figure out what's happened. No, he was resurrected. He was raised from the dead. Where is he? I don't know. And so they've seen him, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we've lost the Lord again." But all of a sudden, standing next to them are two men. Two men who stood there in clothing, looking at them, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just as the same way you have watched him go into heaven." Two men, clothed angelically, heavenly. They're angels, they're messengers from God, but yet they're men with physical bodies. They stand there. I don't know what they look like. Did they have gray hair? Did they have on tennis shoes or loafers? Did they have on sandals? Did they have on Jesus sandals? I don't know what they had on. But it was clear that they were not of us. But yet they looked like us. They were identified as being with us. So this is a fundamental understanding that when we are transformed into this righteous body that we are going to have, that it's going to be a physical body. Even Thomas, doubting Thomas, one of the disciples that was in the room when Jesus walked in and just appeared. I mean, Jesus said, "Hey, look at me. You don't believe I'm who I say I am?" He goes, "Touch my hands. Put your finger in these holes. Put your hand in my side." A physical body. You don't do that with a ghost. You don't do that with a disembodied spirit or figure. A physical body. It's a general understanding. In Mark 10:40, Jesus is, talks about sitting. Okay? I mean, physically sitting. Listen to this. It says, as Stephen was being stoned in Acts 7:55, he saw Jesus standing, right? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Not a disembodied floating spirit. He was standing. What was he standing on? I don't know, but he saw him standing. Ghosts don't stand. Spirits you don't see. You see physical bodies. This understanding of what's going to happen to us needs to be understood, unless, I don't know, unless we're just going to be ghost floating around for all of eternity, then that's going to blow all of Scripture out of water. Because what is also does it say? He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Right? You don't wipe away tears from spirits. You don't wipe away anything from disembodied bodies. Right? You have to have something there. You have to have something there. There'll be no more mourning or crying or any pain. And some people will say, "Well, that's because we don't have a body." No, it's clear we're going to have a body. It just says that it's going to be a different understanding. It's going to be a different type of body. No more death, no more pain, no more tears. It means you're going to be changed and glorified. But this is where it really gets good. This is where I really like it. When we talk about a physical body. Now we have to go back to Old Testament, right? We have to go back to, let's just go back to what people saw. Let's don't talk about speculation. Let's talk about physical things. How about Enoch? Enoch was a great person of the Bible. Enoch was just physically taken up to heaven. How about Elijah? Well, let's just talk about Enoch. He says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, right? He was not buried. He wasn't killed. He said God took him up. What about Elijah? Apparently, Elijah says that, I mean, it says about Elijah that he was just taken up. A physical body. Nothing to be there. God just, kind of a scary thought. And how many like it just to be all of a sudden taken up by God? But yet, if that happens, What happened to that body? And what's God going to do with that body? No, it's there. It's just in a new transformation. What about, okay, let's go to Luke 9, 28 through 36. I certainly wish you could get the notes because all this is in there, but maybe one day I'll be able to put them up. Moses and Elijah, the disciples, people saw Moses and Elijah, physical body, standing next to Jesus, right? When they were on this Mount of Transfiguration, and they're looking, and all of a sudden, here they are, all of them. How's that possible if they didn't have a physical body? Did God put them all back together just so the disciples could see them? I don't think so. He could have, but why would he do that? Why would a body that was dead, God would bring back to a physical life form to put back on earth to stand with Jesus so the disciples could see him? Why would he do that? That makes no sense. That seems like a glorious waste of godly time, doesn't it? But yet, they have physical bodies. Now, here's where it really comes down to what I want to talk about and where you need to land today, right? Paul says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. No matter what happens to these bodies, you will be with the Lord. No matter what happens to us physically, we will be with the Lord. But also, we go to Scripture and it goes to the very end. Well, let me just say some of these. To be with the Lord. Right? There's all sorts of times Jesus talked to his disciples. He talked to strangers. He talked to people that were questioning him. He talked to people that believed in him and didn't believe him. Listen to some of the things that he said. Luke 23:43. While he's on the cross, physically, literally on the cross, the thief next to him says to him, basically, I believe you are who you say you are. And what does Jesus say to him? Today, you, not your spirit, today you will be with me in paradise, right? Talking about right now, in this very moment. Paul said to die was to be with Christ, to be absent was the body, to be present with the Lord. Just said that. Revelation chapter 6, there are the martyrs of God, those who have died before, defending the faith. Physically, their bodies are in heaven, and Paul sees them. He's relaying this to us. John's relaying this to us in Revelation. Paul's relaying it to us in a physical sense. He sees them under the altar, crying out, not in pain, not in torment, not in misery, but crying out for the lost, wanting those who are lost to come to God. Physical body. In what I would say is a genuine worship of God and a genuine yearning for other people to come to know who God is. Jesus himself illustrates in Luke 16, 23-31, this rich man as a conscious person in heaven. Somebody that's physically there. Not in just a story, but physically there. And it's really the only story where Jesus physically names someone in heaven, where he doesn't just give a general description. He physically names someone. Paul put it like this in Philippians 3. He says, our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change the body of our lowliness, to be like the body of his glory. To be like the body of him according to the works, where he is able to subdue all things unto himself. What does that mean? He can do anything he wants to with your body. He can do anything he wants to with this body right here. Now then, I'm going to tell you this. This is my human understanding, my human experience, my human thought processes. I'm just a smidge disappointed with the fact that I may get this body back when I get to heaven. Amen? Now then, is it going to hurt? Is it going to be limited? Is it going to be in this state? No. It's going to be the perfection of what God wanted this body to be. Boy, and I certainly hope perfection means I have more hair. I have bigger muscles, right? We have thoughts about what that should be. But what will it be? It will be glorious. Because Scripture also says, on that last day when the trumpet will sound, Christ will descend from heaven right? He will come to be with us. You read it, what the guys from heaven told the disciples, just as you saw him go, he will also come. He will also return. And on that day when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised, right? The dead in Christ will be raised and will be glorified with him. So remember last week we talked about a new heaven and a new earth. We go to be with God. There's definitely a place, I don't know what it looks like, an intermediate place, an intermediate heaven we go when we die now until Christ comes back, until all of the dead are raised, until our bodies are resurrected, and we get to be with him in the new heaven and the new earth forever and ever in all eternity. What it looks like, I forgot to tell you. I'm not an expert on this. I told you last week, but this is a reminder for the new folks. I haven't been to heaven. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it's like. I just know it's going to be the perfection of what God wants. It's going to be the way he intended everything to be. Whatever this body was supposed to look like and how it was supposed to function, that's how God's going to make it function. That's how Christ is going to renew it. It's going to be clothed with immortality. It's going to be clothed in righteousness. It's going to be made to be the perfection that God intended it to be. It's not going to have, as Scripture says, it's not going to be subjected to the decay and death of earth, of the curse. It's going to be new. It's going to be great. Isaiah, Paul, John, Peter, they all see the heaven as a restoration. I'm glad for that. I'm really glad because I'm really curious of what all this was really supposed to look like. I'm curious about how my life was, my physical life was supposed to look. What was this supposed to be, this perfection? Isn't it crazy? Just think about it for just a moment. If you're wondering, could this be really true? Could our bodies be changed to look differently? To be perfect? Have you ever known somebody? Right? Maybe you went to high school with them. Maybe they were a childhood friend. And then you didn't see them for decades. And suddenly when you saw them, you go, I'm the only one that says this. I'm not going to indict any of you. I'm just going to say it. This is what I say about some friends. Wow, you did not age well. Right? And why do we say that? Not because they look bad. It might be because they don't look like they did when they were younger. But normally it's because, I mean, have you seen people that you've known for years and years and you didn't see them for decades? And then you go, I mean, I had somebody walk up to me, I don't know, in the last year, and they said, hey, do you remember me? Don't you hate that? Hey, do you remember me? I'm sorry, I don't. I don't. Hey, I'm so-and-so. We went to high school together. And still, as I looked at them, I knew the name. I could see that person in my English class. I could see them on my baseball team. But I could not see them in that face. I never, ever did. Because they changed so drastically. And if that can happen in physical life, what do you think God can do? To make us better, to make us restored and renewed, to make us be who he created us to be. Is that a disappointment to you? I don't know that it is or that it isn't. I just know that it will be. And let me end with this final thing. And again, I told you this last week, and I'm having to work through it. Is if you don't think that there's a physical form to us when we get to heaven, if you don't think that there's a greater community of heaven where we will all live, what do we do with that scripture where it says that we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on? And I know my family is just rejoicing that I have finally come to the understanding that they have always had, right? That we will join that great cloud, that we will be together, that we will have this form and this fashion, we will have this voice, we will have a thought process. and that we will be encouraging to one another even before the resurrection, that we have this understanding that even along with God in Christ, if I think about it, why wouldn't it be this way? That if God's yearning for us to come to Him, right, for us to run our race that He set out before us, if Christ was sent, that we would have the opportunity to finish our race and run it the way God intended us to. If He sent the Holy Spirit to also give us that comfort and that encouragement, that power to run our race, why would not all of heaven, in whatever else they're doing, why wouldn't they still be cheering on, even like the martyrs, that more and more people would come to Christ? It just makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense. But yet, there's going to be so much more. I know that, I said it last week, I know that my mom is not just looking down on me 24/7, encouraging and cheering me on. I know she has better things to do on top of whatever that means for her to be doing at the time. I know that there's more, I mean, there's the worship of God going on. There's just so much more, but yet we live in community in these physical bodies, even in heaven. I'm good with that. I'm happy with that. But what I am more happy about, what I'm more glad about, and I said this last week and the week before, is that in my personality, not that this doesn't matter, it's just that it really doesn't particularly, this is not on my top 10 list to talk to God about. God's going to do what God's going to do, and I'm going to be happy with it. Whatever He does with this, it's going to be exactly the way that He created it to be, and I'm going to be surprised. Robin's going to be surprised when we both get there and she goes, "Wow, you had potential. I knew you had potential." Right? And we're going to live this life together. Here's what I want us to be focused on. We need to know these things. We need to think about these things. We need to talk about these passages of Scripture. We need to talk about what God is up to. 100 absolutely percent true. But let's talk about our lives right now. Let's talk about who we are right now in Christ. Let's talk about what God wants for us in this very moment and how we are to live these lives out as we get to that transcendence, as we get to that being clothed with immortality, as we get to be clothed with righteousness, as we get to be transformed 100% into the image that God created us to be, into His likeness, right? He created us in His likeness. Well, what about right now? Are you living out your life in His likeness? Are you living are you running the race that God's set you upon? Or are you taking a detour? Are you being open, as that song said? All of our lives, are we being His, or are we focusing on being our own? It's hard. It's just hard. I know it is. I'm not gonna lie about that. I'm not gonna make it sound like it's perfect and good and everything's wonderful all day long. I'm keenly aware this week that it's not. It's just not. And it's messy and it's hurtful and things just don't go the way you want them to go. I know that, but yet, let's keep going. A good friend in Sunday school said that it's a process. Boy, it is a process. It's a journey. And I want you to walk it with me, and I want to walk it with you until we are all together again, as Jesus said, until we are together again at His heavenly banquet. We even get to eat in heaven. Hallelujah, I can't wait. So where are you today? How are you hoping to look forward? What are you needing Christ to do in your life? It's 11:34. I'm 4 minutes past where I wanted to be, but I'm going to ask you this question, and I want to pray over you because this matters more than anything. Jesus asked over and over and over and over again to all these people that had obvious problems. They were blind. They were crippled. They were lepers. They were prostitutes. They were major sinners in the eyes of the people. They were disgusting, destitute, just gross in their hearts and in their physical appearance. And Jesus most usually always asks, What do you want me to do for you? So ask today. Jesus is asking you, what do you want? I want you to tell him. It's that simple. Lord God, we are just humbled right now that you would take the time to be with us. Not just in this 10:30 to 11:45 moments. Humble that you would come to us in the form of a human life and call him Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was and the one who is and the one that is to come. Lord, that you would take the time. And then, Lord, that you would make a place for us in your life, that you would desire that space with us. Not our jobs, not making money, not having families. All those things are good and well. But yet, just being your children, just to be with us. And now you ask, I'm here. What would you have me do for you? And now that you've told Jesus, I want you to think about how sincere your request is. And now in the grand scheme of things, how limiting and how small your request is in the greater things that God wants to do in your life. And then ask him to show you more. Yes, Lord, here's what I want right now. But Lord, would you give me a greater vision for my life? Would you give me a greater understanding, Lord? Show me more and more and more that you can and want to do in and through my life. Lord, don't let me be limited by my thoughts. Let me be unlimited by your power, Lord Jesus. It's in his name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.